Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Midland Reporter Telegram, Friday, November 4, 2022, Volume 94, Number 171, read by Leah. Governor Greg Abbott to hold rally on Friday. By Ben Schaefer. Just days before the November 8 general election, Governor Greg Abbott will make an appearance at 3:45 p.m. Friday at Michael's Charcoal Grill, 723 West Wadley Avenue. Abbott, a Republican, has been to Midland, Odessa many times in the past year, but his last open-to-the-public appearance in Midland seems to be last fall at the Legacy Permian football game at the Scharbauer Sports Complex. Democrat Beto O'Rourke last met with Midlanders during an open and free event at the Grand Texan Hotel just prior to the state of early voting in October. If history is any indication, Abbott will do well in Midland County. In 2018, he recorded 79.72% of the vote here. In 2014, that percentage was 85.69%, according to the Midland County Elections Office website. Friday is also the last day for early voting prior to Tuesday's elections. Midland County Early Voting Locations. Midland County Elections Office, 2110 North A Street, Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Centennial Library, Meeting Room Number 113, 2503 West Loop 250 North, Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Cogdell Learning Center, Classroom Number 4, 201 West Florida Avenue, Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 3813 North Midland Drive, Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. St. Paul United Methodist Church, Abundant Life Center, 4501 Thomason Drive, Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Source, Midland County Elections Office. Rents up 14.6% during the last 12 months. Midland, Odessa experienced the largest increases in West Texas compared to October 2021, by Stuart Doreen. The rents in Midland, Odessa are still among the lowest in the region, but information from ApartmentList.com shows rents are climbing here as fast as anywhere in the state. The website showed in its November rent report that rent is up 22.9% in Odessa compared to October 2021. In Midland, the percentage increase is 14.6, also one of the largest in the state. The good news for renters in the area is that rents 1 year ago were among the lowest in the state and had ground to make up. The November report also shows a rent of $997 for a median two-bedroom apartment in Midland. It also shows two-bedroom rents of $1,061 in San Angelo, $1,036 in Lubbock, and $1,029 in Abilene. Last year, the spreads between Midland and those other larger metropolitan areas in West Texas were between $125 and $200 a month. Rent for the median two-bedroom apartment in Midland in October 2021 was $872. The median price of a two-bedroom apartment in Odessa remains one of the cheapest in the state at $871. Last year, it was $681. The largest metropolitan areas across the state are showing yearly increases of 4.0 to 10.1%, according to ApartmentList.com. Two-bedroom rents in the November report included $1,288 in Houston, $1,317 in San Antonio, $1,335 in Forth, $1,472 in Dallas, and $1,826 in Austin. ApartmentList.com showed at least four communities in the Metroplex with rents higher than $2,000 a month: Flower Mound, Frisco, Allen, and Coppell. The rent for a median two-bedroom apartment was $2,280, according to the website. So far in 2022, rents are up by a total of 5.9%, compared to 18% at this point in 2021, the report stated. Year-over-year growth has decelerated rapidly since the start of the year, but it's still likely that 2022 will end up being the second fastest year of rent growth since the start of our estimates. Rents nationally fell 0.7% month over month and decreased this month in 89 of the nation's 100 largest cities in October. Source: ApartmentList.com. Cocktails to canvases. The Blue Door Lounge adds customization options to drink menu. Text and photos by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Always looking to bring big city attractions to her small town cocktail lounge, Erica Mann found the next Instagram-worthy moneymaker, a machine that prints custom pictures on top of frothy drinks, such as egg white sips or Guinness. Officially called the Ripple Maker 2 Pro, the appliance only takes 10 seconds before creating a real-life, perfectly centered masterpiece. Midlanders travel, see all of these things, and they want to have it where they live, Mann explained, so it just fell in line with what we do as far as trying to be a little bit ahead of the trend. The Blue Door general manager, Will Moeller, gave the Reporter Telegram a step-by-step demonstration of how the art comes about. Step 1. Guests order a drink from a printer-friendly menu at the bar and let their bartender know to include them in the queue. Step 2. Customers then scan a QR code located on the menu, pulling up an app-like website. Here, they either select a preset, such as Christmas trees, hearts, phrases, or upload an image or custom text, can't wait for the first proposal, to be airdropped to the printer. According to Mann, selfie-like photos with minimal background elements work best. Step 3. Once the handcrafting finishes, the printing begins. Bartenders place the beverage under the green light emitted from the surprisingly compact device. The apparatus then raises the glass high enough for the ink to be stamped on. Working like a typical desk printer, the gadget moves back and forth, layering ink onto foam and forming a picture-perfect replica. Step 4. Take those social media pics and enjoy. Obviously, oil and soot-based ink cannot be ingested. The edible ink used at the North Garfield Street hotspot comes from an array of ingredients. For the pink-colored pictures, a carrot-based ink reigns supreme, while the brown comes from malt. The purple comes from flavorless cabbage extract, making all three choices vegan. Note: Ripples also makes another brown color from coffee and a special glow-in-the-dark yellow. The Blue Door does not currently carry these colors. Although Mann said the crew is still mastering the techniques used with one-tone artwork, eventually Moeller and the other bartenders will be able to fill multiple color requests. As for price, printer users will receive an additional flat rate fee on their bill, fee currently undecided. A tentative printer grand opening lies in the coming week, subject to change. From movie quotes and pet portraits to logos and mayoral candidates, the Ripple Maker 2 Pro can make whatever your heart desires. For more examples, visit https://bit.ly/3IQISJ. Interested in having post-work company drinks and want your logo hitting every pair of lips? Message man through Instagram at https://bit.ly/3IQISJ. 4 p.m. to midnight, Monday through Saturday, 4610 North Garfield Street, D, number 1C. Biz Buzz. Lucchese holds grand opening celebration by Stuart Doreen. The Lucchese store in Central Midland recently held a grand opening event. The store is located 2705 North Big Spring Street, which was once home to Midland Meat Company. It was previously reported that Lucchese Bootmaker Company, a Texas-based handmade bootmaker, will team with Midland Meat Company owner John Scharbauer to use his cattle hides to make custom boots. The new Midland Meat Company location, 2600 Loma Drive, is located behind the Lucchese store. The grand opening event features a live performance from Texas musician Carson Jeffrey and complimentary drinks from Lone River Ranch Water and bites from MMC Half Acre. Pottery Queen uses art to find place in Midland. Photos and text by Morgan Taylor Thomas. After moving with her partner to Minnesota for work in 2021, Leslie Clay decided becoming a full-time artist stood as the only option. Holding unwanted jobs just to make ends meet didn't meet life's expectations, and taking a risk became the only cure. Always passionate about art, the Arkansas native found her soulmate career through resentment toward her initial college degree, yet remains balanced in happiness and self-worth. Now, a few months after moving near to her boyfriend's roots, a Lubbock man, the creator runs an online shop, offers one-on-one and group classes, works through the Arts Council of Midland, and holds workshops throughout the city and country. Her latest Tall City excursion took place at the Blue Door on October 21, leading a guided hangout on how to make a ceramic cocktail glass. Clay sat down with the Reporter Telegram and talked about her start in full-time artistry and life in West Texas. Question: how did pottery come into your life? Answer: art always interested me as a kid, but everybody always associated art with a fake degree, so I just pushed it on my head. I didn't think it was an option. I worked in an art museum in college at the front just helping. One day, it just clicked, and I thought, wait, all these people are in here showing their art. You can actually make a career out of it. I was in school for biology, was going to go pre-med, and it didn't really feel right. Felt forced. I said, you know what? I think I'm going to switch my major. I want to take art classes. So, my senior year, I took ceramics and fell in love. Within a week, I was asking, how do I do this forever? Question: what's your favorite item to sculpt? Answer: definitely vases, because they're tricky. Ceramics in general, you can have an idea of what you want to make, but anything can happen during the entire process. The clay already knows what it wants to be, so you just have to go with the flow. With vases, I usually end up making a shape that I never even thought about or planned. I can sketch something out, but then make something totally different and end up liking what I made better than what was even in my head. Question: how has moving to Midland impacted you? Answer: I've been surprised, in a good way, by the artists' community I found and the support for the arts in general. I feel like I didn't know what to expect, but I was just thinking, oh, it's just an industrial town. There are so many markets and events, I just don't get my foot in the door every time since I'm new. Question: what's one neat aspect about pottery not all art forms use? Answer: it uses all four elements, earth, wind, air, and fire. That's what really drew me to it, too. There's so many steps you don't even think about, and so many things that can really go wrong. So when you actually finish a piece, it's so rewarding. For example, with clay, you have to use water to keep it wet, otherwise it's just friction. It'll start pulling, cracking. Your hands have to be wet, or they won't move with the clay, and it'll literally just flop over. Question: what do you hope to show the community through your work? Answer: just a new experience, because I wasn't exposed to it until I was probably 21. It's such a special art form that even if you do it just once, it'll be something you remember forever. I also just love connecting with people, and this is a way for me to meet somebody that I otherwise wouldn't have. To learn more about Clay's workshop schedule, visit her Instagram at www.instagram.com/Leslie Clay Studio. To book a private or group session, or to buy pieces, visit her website at www.leslieclaystudio.com. Gas prices drop in Midland. Area still trails Odessa State. By Ben Schaefer. The fall in demand for gasoline across the country created a 2-cent decrease in Texas statewide gas price average, AAA Texas reported. In Midland, the weekly decrease was 4 cents. With colder winter weather settling in across many parts of the country, lower demand in the coming weeks may help keep a lid on gas prices, even as crude prices have been rising, AAA Texas spokesperson Joshua Zuber said in a press release. The Texas gas price average is still 12 cents higher than a year ago, according to AAA Texas. In Midland, the average is 14 cents higher than early October of 2021. Midland's average gas price, $3.31 a gallon, is still the second highest gas price average out of the 27 largest Texas metro areas AAA surveys. Odessa is home to the third highest gas price average in the state at $3.25 a gallon. Averages across the region include $3.09 a gallon in San Angelo, a drop of 1 cent, $3.10 in Abilene, a decrease of 6 cents, $3.13 in Amarillo, a decrease of 5 cents, and $3.13 in Lubbock, a decrease of 7 cents, according to AAA Texas. El Paso again posted the highest average, $3.38 a gallon, a decrease of 8 cents. The lowest average was $2.97 in Corpus Christi. AAA Texas also reported that drivers in the state are paying the second lowest gas price average nationwide at $3.17 a gallon. DPS names man from Midland November's featured fugitive, by Mercedes Cordero. A Midland man on the Department of Public Safety's Texas 10 Most Wanted Fugitive list has been named November's featured fugitive. Texas Crime Stoppers has also increased the cash reward of up to $8,500 for any information that leads to Antonio Martinez Gonzalez's arrest in the month of November. Gonzalez, 41, is wanted for assault by impeding breath/circulation and parole violation, original offense, possession of a controlled substance. On February 24, 2021, Gonzalez was arrested in Midland for assault of family, household member, by impeding breath, circulation, and subsequently bonded out, according to the bulletin. The Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles issued a warrant 2 days later for his arrest for a parole violation. The Midland County Sheriff's Office also issued a warrant for his arrest on May 3, 2021, for assault by impeding breath/circulation. Gonzalez had previously served time in the early 2000s after convictions for burglary of a building, retaliation, and unauthorized use of a motorized vehicle. In 2006, he was convicted of injury to a child and sentenced to 2 years of probation, which was later revoked and replaced with a 6-month sentence in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. In 2009, he was convicted of assault against a public servant and received a 2-year sentence. In 2015, he was given a 3-year sentence after a DWI conviction, and in 2017, he was convicted of possession of a controlled substance and received an 8-year sentence. He was released on parole in June 2019. Gonzalez is 5'4" and weighs about 180 pounds, and he has tattoos on his head, neck, chest, abdomen, back, left shoulder, and hand, fingers, both ears, arms, wrists, and legs. He is affiliated with the West Texas Tango Gang and has ties to Midland and to Mexico, according to the DPS bulletin. To be eligible for the reward in the case, tipsters must provide information to authorities using one of the following methods. Call the Texas Crime Stoppers hotline at 1-800-252-TIPS 8477. Submit a web tip through the Texas 10 Most Wanted website or Facebook page. Submit a tip through the DPS mobile app. Gonzalez should be considered armed and dangerous, according to the bulletin. Fast Facts, The Reserve's Mimosa Crawl. Thinking about attending the Downtown Mimosa Crawl Saturday? Here's everything you need to know beforehand. Who? The Reserve, located inside the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel. What? An array of different flavored mimosas, such as classic orange and delicate strawberry, making the bill along with other themed bites, sips, and decor. When? 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. Where? 117 West Wall Street. How? Tickets can be bought ahead of time at https://bit.ly/3WULHD3 or by typing Midland Mimosa Crawl in your search engine. 2 ticket options stand available. The first is a classic general admission ticket running at $15. The second, a VIP ticket running at $39, which includes a Fest t-shirt. Obituaries and death notices. Clifton Eugene Shoemate. Clifton Eugene Shoemate, Jr., born December 11, 1954, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Friday, October 28, 2022, age 67. Celebration of life at the Green Tree Country Club Ballroom, November 10, 2 to 3 p.m., 4900 Green Tree Boulevard, Midland, Texas, 79707. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Shoemate family. Tommy Wayne Reed. Tommy Wayne Reed, 77, passed away at his home in Midland, Texas on Thursday, October 27, 2022. Tommy was born February 5, 1945, to Floyd and Margaret Reed in the hill country town of Dublin, Texas. Tommy leaves behind his children, Kimberly Pyle and husband Tim, Melissa Johnson and husband Scott, Michael Reed and Leslie Parrish and husband Jeff, 9 grandchildren and 17 great-grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his wife, Deanna Williams Reed, son James Mitchell Ratliff, and great-grandson Landon Michael Shipley. He will be deeply missed by all who knew him. A celebration of life for Tommy will be held Saturday, November 5th at 11 a.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring, Midland, Texas, 79705. Clinton Harvey Adams. Clinton Harvey Adams, 88, passed away on November 3, 2022. There will be no public funeral services at this time. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Karen Elaine Crebo. Karen Elaine Crebo, 53, passed away on November 1, 2022. There will be no public funeral services at this time. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, November 4th, 2022. Fawcett hopes for joint county-city meetings. With the beginning of his term just around the corner, Ector County Judge-elect Dustin Fawcett is looking ahead. One of his goals is scheduling joint county commissioner-city council meetings. With three new council members coming on board, along with a new commissioner, Fawcett said he plans to call for an introductory meeting within the first couple months of the new year. After that, various topics will be discussed. Quote, I think we're going to have meetings regarding some of our interlocal agreements, whether it's fire or the jail. We're going to have some of those discussions regarding animal control. We're going to have them regarding our courthouse, their city hall, our building and assets, end quote, Fawcett said. Quote, I'm a firm believer that we need to have these, one, for transparency for taxpayers, but also to make sure that we're on the same page and that we're operating efficiently. Those are just some of the big topics. But there will be other ones, too, that I think are going to be important to hash out in these meetings, end quote. Meetings with all the commissioners and city council members have been, quote, extremely rare, end quote. And he talked about holding such meetings frequently while campaigning. Fawcett said, quote, on the campaign trail, people often asked, why can't we just get along? I think that was something of a hallmark of my campaign. And something I talked about often was us working together on issues because taxpayers are counting on us versus working against one another, against the taxpayers, end quote. While the relationship has been challenging, Fawcett thinks the two groups are closer on the issues than they are apart. Quote, I think it's merely a matter of communication that we need to fix, and this is one of those ways we're going to open up those lines of communication, end quote, Fawcett said. Quote, it's going to be something that is going to take some time. Rome wasn't overnight. We're not going to be able to just undo everything, you know, like I said, years of constraint, but we're going to pick away at it, end quote. Odessa City Manager Michael Marrero, who has been with the city 28 years, said he only knows of a handful of joint meetings, and he thinks it's important to continuing having a dialogue with the county. He, too, mentioned the fire department, animal control, and the jail. He said he's looking forward to discussions about improving local residents' quality of life and economic development. Quote, I think the county and the city enjoy a good relationship now, but like anything, there's always room for improvement, end quote, Marrero said. Fawcett hopes to find, quote, low-hanging fruit, end quote, first, small issues that can be addressed before taking on things like sales tax, fire services, and other interlocal agreements. With the city expanding, these discussions need to happen, Fawcett said. Quote, we need to expand. Every taxpayer benefits from that throughout the county, and every taxing entity benefits from that throughout the county, end quote, Fawcett said. Quote, I think it's necessary, and that's going to be how we move this community forward, and I'm very much looking forward to it, end quote. Teen who attacked teacher gets probation. OHS student ordered to rehab. Two teenagers who were arrested in September, one for attacking a teacher and the other for stabbing another student, were placed on probation until they turn 18 Thursday. One of them must spend time in a locked facility before beginning probation, and the other will have to undergo a stint in rehab first. Ector County Juvenile Court Judge Brooke Hendricks sentenced the teenagers Thursday after prosecutors and defense attorneys reached an agreement in each case. On September 7th, a 14-year-old Bowie Middle School student was recorded attacking a teacher after she seized his cell phone and was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault of a public servant. The video showed the student touching the teacher while trying to get the phone out of her desk, her pushing him away, and then him taking her to the ground and beating her. At one point, her head can be heard banging against a desk. On Thursday, Hendricks found the boy engaged in delinquent conduct by committing assault on a public servant, a less serious offense negotiated by Assistant Ector County Attorney Mark Chastain and Defense Attorney Israel Guardiola. Hendricks ruled it was in the, quote, best interest of the child and society, end quote, to place him on probation. She ordered him placed in a secured facility outside Ector County for an undetermined amount of time, noting he has not been suitably supervised at home and is a potential danger to himself or others. Hendricks told the boy there is a chance he can be released from probation earlier than his 18th birthday if he abides by all of the rules and doesn't commit any more crimes. When she asked him whose fault it would be if he is still appearing in her court at 18, he softly replied, quote, mine, end quote. Quote, no one's saying you're a bad kid, but you reacted very badly, end quote. And the staff at the locked facility are going to help him figure out why and give him tools so he'll know how to handle things when he gets upset in the future, Hendricks told the teenager. The judge noted he's a good student and his behavior has been, quote, excellent, end quote, inside the Ector County Youth Center, and she told him she's confident he can do better. The only way he can attain his goal of becoming a firefighter or a hairstylist is if he maintains his grades and behaves appropriately, she told him. Hopefully he already knows that just a few seconds of actions can impact his life and those around him, quote, possibly forever, end quote, Hendricks said. The judge noted the boy has expressed remorse, which she noted is a sign of making progress. The judge also ordered the teen to perform 56 hours of community service. She noted that the Ector County Independent School District expelled him, and he'll be homeschooled once he's home from the locked facility and begins his probation. Hendricks also had a few words of warning for the boy's parents. She noted they had a history of not issuing consequences for their boy's poor behavior, and she expects that to change. She told them they must notify the boy's probation officer if his grades slip or he fails to abide by their rules and the court's rules. She's also ordered them to attend a parenting class. Addressing the boy's mother, Hendricks said, quote, I'm very concerned with your social media posts, and that's not going to be your behavior while he's on probation, end quote. The night of the boy's arrest, and prior to his first 10-day detention hearing, his mother posted, quote, I got you, my baby, quote, my king, 10 days will go by fast, end quote. Chastain told the judge the boy's former teacher continues to experience constant headaches, which has made it impossible for her to continue taking online education courses. She said she feels unsafe and as though people are staring at her. She changed cars so she can't be recognized, and she continues to cry at night. She also said her family has been traumatized and her son had to change schools because he was being teased about the incident and, in fact, was himself the victim of an assault. As for the 16-year-old Odessa High School student, Hendricks found the boy engaged in delinquent behavior by stabbing a fellow student in the abdomen with a knife on September 21st. Which is considered aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. According to Ector County Independent School District officials, the boy and another student agreed to fight each other, but it ended when one of them was stabbed. Officials described the student's injuries as, quote, minor, end quote. As with the former Bowie student, Hendricks agreed with the attorneys on the case that it would be in the best interest of the teenager and society to place him on probation and found that he, too, needs closer and additional supervision. Hendricks ordered the boy to spend an undetermined amount in a rehabilitation center, noting the incident was largely drug-fueled. Quote, it looks like you're a good kid who's been making bad decisions, and we want to help put you back on the right track, end quote, Hendricks said. She also told the boy, who was represented by defense attorney Mike Holmes, he can be released from probation early if he stays out of trouble. Once released from rehab, the boy will be living with his mother and grandparents. Hendricks ordered his mom to attend a parenting class and told her the boy's parents and the boy that if he finds himself struggling, they are to immediately notify his probation officer. While in rehab, Hendricks told the teenager, quote, you've got to soak up the information like a sponge. You'll only get out of it what you put into it, end quote. She also ordered the teen to perform 48 hours of community service. Noting he says he wants to work in the oil field or join the Marines, Hendricks told him she hopes he'll be one of her success stories. She told both teenagers she hopes she'll only run into them in the future at Target or HEB, not in her courtroom. She said she could be their biggest cheerleader if they do well, but will come down hard on them if they don't follow the rules. While on probation, the teenagers will have to report to their probation officer at least once a week and abide by a 9 p.m. curfew, said Kevin Mann, Ector County Juvenile Probation Director. Stricter measures can be imposed if there are problems, which could include GPS ankle monitors. In both cases, the judge had the option of merely placing the teens on probation until their 18th birthday or sending them to a Texas Juvenile Justice Department facility until their 19th birthday. Pfluger vows to block EPA action. GOP's return to power in Washington forecast. Tuesday's elections around the country may be the most important in Permian Basin history. That's because the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is poised to declare the basin a non-attainment area, and the Republican Party needs a majority in the U.S. House of Representatives to keep the region's energy industry intact. But Congressman August Pfluger has great confidence that his party will gain more than the necessary 6 seats and reclaim power in the 435-seat House in Washington. Republican State Representative Brooks Landgraf of Odessa emphatically welcomes Pfluger's involvement, and an EPA spokeswoman in Washington says her agency is determined to proceed against the basin. Pfluger was asked the significance of the U.S. Supreme Court's 6-3 ruling June 30th that the EPA had exceeded its authority in West Virginia under the 1970 Clean Air Act and that it would need congressional approval to take an action with vast economic ramifications. Quote, that ruling was so powerful for many reasons, end quote, the San Angelo Republican said Tuesday. Quote, it set a precedent that the government could not do what it has been doing, overregulating to the country's detriment and using these types of weapons against the oil and gas industry. We need a majority and we'll get it in 1 week, end quote. The 11th Congressional District Representative said President Biden has been working to fulfill a 2020 campaign promise to kill the American fossil fuel industry, quote, and this EPA threat is one of the tools he's using, end quote. Quote, it's really dangerous, end quote, he said. Quote, I wrote a letter to the EPA and its administrator, Michael Reagan, asking, what is the problem? What are you trying to solve? They gave a poor, lackluster response. This administration has proved that they will not give us the answers we're seeking, end quote. Pfluger said his inquiries to EPA Region 6 Administrator Earthy Nance in Dallas have elicited equally unsatisfactory responses. Quote, as of now, the EPA has not taken steps to implement a non-attainment designation, but we want to know why they will not meet with us and industry representatives, end quote, he said, adding that the basin oil and gas companies have done much more to protect the environment than most foreign countries. Referring to Landgraf, the congressman said, quote, Representative Landgraf and I work very well together on the state and federal levels, and we have both been focused on this, end quote. Landgraf said Wednesday that the EPA, quote, is operating in the shadows without transparency or accountability, on behalf of an extremist faction of the Democratic Party. The EPA's latest and ongoing attempts to indirectly shut down Texas oil and natural gas production are terrifying examples of professional bureaucrats placing the desires of a few wealthy coastal elites over the security, economic, and even environmental interests of our nation, end quote, Landgraf said. Quote, if it were just about Texas jobs, that alone would justify the need for the leaders of Texas to step up and fight back against the EPA. But it is about so much more than that, because the hydrocarbons in the ground here in the basin could make our nation completely energy independent if we could just find the will to seize the opportunity. I'll continue to do everything I can as a Texas state representative born and raised in Odessa to protect the Texas oil patch. Thankfully, I'm not alone in this fight, as Congressman Pfluger and Governor Abbott headline a long list of liberty-loving Americans who are not going to let Texas oil and gas go down without a hell of a fight, end quote. Pfluger said he will reintroduce an amendment next year that would block the EPA, and he wants, quote, to use the power of the purse, end quote, to defund the agency. He said it is a certainty that all congressional Republicans would help protect the basin, because House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California, who is expected to become Speaker of the House if the GOP regains power, is committed to introducing a sweeping energy security measure as House Resolution No. 1 in January. Quote, it's a great sign because I have been pushing extremely hard on this point, end quote, Pfluger said. Expressing optimism that his party will also win a majority in the U.S. Senate, he said the visits he has hosted here for McCarthy and more than 20 other House members have enhanced understanding and support in Washington. Quote, I'll be leading the charge should the EPA choose to pursue this, end quote, Pfluger said. Quote, it would not only be illegal, but another example of federal overreach. Our nation is facing a very complex threat environment. I don't believe there has ever been a time when that was more true than it is today. And everything the Biden administration is doing with regard to the energy industry is weakening not only the industry, but also our national security, end quote. EPA spokeswoman Shayla Powell told the Odessa American last week that the EPA, quote, is considering a redesignation to non-attainment for portions of counties in New Mexico and Texas located in the Permian Basin. Quote, extracting and processing oil and natural gas results in emissions of nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compounds that cause ozone pollution, which can cause a number of health problems, including coughing, breathing difficulty, and lung damage, end quote, Powell said. Quote, EPA is committed to its mission to protect public health and recognizes the importance of partnering with states and stakeholders to deliver clean air protections in a feasible, cost-effective way, end quote. Compass to add portables in preparation for expansion. Compass Academy Charter School is expanding once again with more students and eventually buildings. The school opened in 2011 and is a public charter school, so it is funded by the state based on attendance and does not receive property taxes. It has grown rapidly since it began and now has 1,401 students in grades kindergarten through 12. There is a waiting list of 771 students. They're hoping to have some new buildings going up in the spring. Quote, we're expanding our enrollment. We're hoping to do that next year. We're in the process of adding these four 10-classroom portable buildings that will house 7 through 12. Our plans are to add approximately 600 students next year, end quote, Superintendent Kathy Killingsworth said. That is if they get all their infrastructure in place, Assistant Superintendent Jason Inman said. Quote, we started on this project in June so that we could hopefully have it all in place for the next school year, end quote, Killingsworth said. The small student-to-teacher ratio has contributed to the popularity of Compass, Killingsworth said. They have 82 teachers. Quote, plus we focus on academics. We've added sports and a lot of things, fine arts and all of that as well, to have a well-balanced program, end quote, Killingsworth said. Inman said it's the small school environment in a big town. The new buildings are meant to increase enrollment to have sufficient funds to build phase three. Compass is funded based on attendance and does not receive property tax revenue. Quote, the increase in enrollment will help us incur the cost of the debt, end quote, Killingsworth said. She noted that the school will accept new applications in February. Quote, we have probably 1,000 applications every year, and we don't have many slots to fill, end quote, Killingsworth said. Generally speaking, Inman said, once a student arrives at Compass, they stay. Quote, especially in elementary, after kindergarten fills up, there's not very many spots in the lower elementary grades, end quote, Inman added. Siblings have first preference, Killingsworth said. quote, we have whole families here, which is really nice that all your kids go to one school, end quote, she added. The portables were not part of the long-term plans at Compass, but they need the enrollment to pay for the bonded indebtedness. But the portables will help fund the brick-and-mortar structures, which will be for junior and senior high. As it is now, the addition will be two stories. Quote, it's a temporary fix that we may use for several years. Because it takes 3 years to finish your plans, contractors, construction, all that, so 4 years from now is the bare minimum to have phase three finished, end quote, Killingsworth said. Meanwhile, they will still be growing. Quote, I think it just means that our school is very healthy to have the number of students plus a waiting list. I don't think we'll have trouble filling the seats, which is good, end quote, Killingsworth said. Plans are to hire more teachers. Killingsworth said their expansion is going to add one section to each grade level, kindergarten through fifth. Quote, then 6 through 12, we already have the teachers available to pick up the increased enrollment, end quote, she added. Kindergarten and 6th grade have the largest enrollments. Quote, parents bring the kids over in 6th grade because they want the smaller environment for the middle school, end quote, Inman said. Killingsworth said their outside entry doors are closed all the time and there is an intercom outside. You have to identify yourself. Killingsworth said they have parents call ahead to pick up their students. Quote, one of the advantages here to me is the ladies at the front desk are able to recognize the parents and know who's supposed to be here. It gives them the more personal interaction. They're able to just, oh, I see so-and-so's mama coming up. I can buzz her without her having to dig in her purse or something to get those things out. That makes it more of a family environment, I guess, end quote, Inman said. Last year, Compass graduated 57 students, and this year it's predicted to be 79. Compass earned a C this year in its state accountability ratings. Killingsworth said it was because of their graduation rate. The best of 4-year, 5-year, or 6-year graduation rate, or annual dropout rate, if no graduation rate is available, is factored into the student achievement domain, according to the Texas Education Agency. The state rate lags a year behind, and Compass' first graduating class was last year. Quote, our scores had been low because we haven't had graduates. Last year was our first year for graduates, but they used prior year information that looked like we didn't have graduates and we didn't in 21. Next year we should be okay, end quote, Killingsworth said. Man arrested after colliding with two parked cars while intoxicated. An Odessa man was arrested on child endangerment charges Tuesday after police said they found his three little ones alone at his house after he crashed into two parked cars while driving drunk. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers got a call about a three-vehicle crash in the 8800 block of Lamar Avenue around 10:30 p.m. Tuesday. When they arrived, they discovered a Nissan pickup truck and a Toyota SUV had been hit by Jacob Carey Ehrenberg King, 24, who was driving a Ford Expedition. King said he'd left his 2 and 3-year-old sons and his baby girl home alone so he could drive to a convenience store at 87th Street and Andrews Highway to get some cigarettes, the report stated. Officers found all three children sleeping in the living room of King's home in the 9000 block of Lamar Avenue. Officers reported King had red, bloodshot, and, quote, glossy, end quote, eyes, smelled of alcohol, was unsteady on his feet, and was slurring his speech. According to the report, King admitted he'd had 3 or 4 beers that night and 1 or 2 shots of whiskey. King failed field sobriety and breath tests, the report stated. King was arrested on suspicion of driving while intoxicated with a blood alcohol level over 0.15 and 3 counts of abandoning / endangering a child. He was released from the Ector County Jail Wednesday after posting $15,000. Man indicted in connection to choking newborns. A teenager accused of trying to choke newborns to death at Odessa Regional Medical Center last month has been indicted on 4 felony charges, including 2 attempted capital murder charges. Marcus McCowan, Jr., 18, waived his arraignment hearing, which had been scheduled for October 31st. According to Odessa Police Department reports, ORMC staff members noticed McCowan was acting oddly while awaiting the birth of his child on October 3rd, and a charge nurse made him leave the labor and delivery area. Staff told police that a short time later, McCowan ran at, quote, full speed, end quote, at 2 nurses and a mom who was being released from the hospital and holding a newborn baby in a carrier. McCowan shoved one of the nurses and began to choke the baby in the carrier with both hands, the nurses told police. They were able to rescue the baby, but then McCowan ran into the nursery, an area not accessible to the public, and began to choke another newborn baby, according to the report. A respiratory therapist and security officer were able to rescue the baby girl. According to the report, when police arrived, they handcuffed McCallum, but he twice tried to grab an officer's gun. In addition to the attempted capital murder charges, which carry a prison sentence of 5 years to life in prison, an Ector County grand jury indicted McCallum on two other charges, assaulting a public servant, a third-degree felony, and attempt to take a weapon from an officer, a state jail felony. McCallum remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $582,000. Local News Roundup. Synergy to show movies with Spanish subtitles. In recognition and support of the robust Latino and Hispanic communities in Odessa and its surrounding towns, Synergy Dine-In Cinemas is now offering some of the most anticipated films of 2022 with Spanish subtitles, a news release said. On most Sundays at 5 p.m., Synergy has reserved a special Spanish-subbed showing of some of the newest and biggest titles coming out of Hollywood, starting with Black Adam on Sunday, November 6th at 5 p.m. Tickets are now on sale. Sunday, November 13th, 5 p.m., Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Sunday, December 4th at 5 p.m., Violent Night. MMH hosting Find a Job Friday. Midland Health is hosting a Find a Job Friday. The event is held in the lobby between the hospital's police department and the Human Resources Department, 400 Rosalind Redfern Grover Parkway, and will be offered the first Friday of every month. This month is from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. today, November 4th. The with external candidates about current career opportunities. The recruitment team will be speaking to all candidates that may be interested in a position with Midland Health and will conduct a pre-screening with the candidates. When the candidate arrives, they will be asked to sign in and have a cup of coffee or a cookie while they wait. A recruiter will get with them, go over their resume, and have a pre-screening conversation. If qualified, the recruiter will reach out to the hiring managers in the respective departments they discussed to conduct on-the-spot interviews. This may lead to a job offer, a news release said. Game Warden of the Year announced. With only 6 years as a game warden under his belt, Bo Hancock has proven himself a formidable resource in the field. Serving first in the U.S. Air Force, then as a warden in Presidio and Brewster counties, he set himself apart by cultivating supportive relationships inside and outside the game warden community. Externally, Hancock created opportunities to create an appreciation of nature with younger generations through kid fish events, water safety programs, and wildlife identification teams, a news release said. Internally, he leads the Critical Incident Response Team, a role he has held for 3 years. The team is specially trained to focus on supporting wardens, fellow law enforcement, and community members who have experienced traumatic incidents. Through patience and connection, Hancock helps unite communities after tragedy and utilizes his insight to teach his fellow wardens, the release said. While stationed in Brewster County, Hancock served as an ambassador across the agency, assisting with numerous search and rescue operations in the Big Bend area. He continues to strengthen state and local partnerships while exemplifying service in the field. UTPB unveils new transfer credit calculator to help students complete a degree. The University of Texas Permian Basin is making it easier for students to understand which credits will transfer to UTPB. With this new transfer credit calculator, students can see in real time which of their classes transfer. They can use that information to choose the best degree options. The goal is saving students time and money and help them complete their college degree. Quote, at UTPB, we are laser focused on helping more people earn a college degree. This transfer credit calculator allows people to explore options on their own time and get answers to their questions. This is making college more accessible, which I love, end quote. Senior VP of Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, Dr. Becky Spurlock, said in a news release. To learn more, visit tinyurl.com/2KN5N8DV. UT Permian Basin serves a large body of transfer students. 46% of students currently enrolled in UTPB are transfer students. The new transfer credit calculator will simplify the transfer process for many, allowing UTPB to serve the needs of its current and prospective students, the release said. Quote, the transfer credit calculator will offer a prospective student credit estimates immediately, end quote, said Director of Undergraduate Admissions, Lorinda Tarcero. Quote, the calculator also provides best fit major recommendations and support with their application to guide them step by step through the enrollment process. Overall, it will better serve our prospective transfer students, and I believe with this tool, students will want to join the Falcon family, end quote. Spurlock said about 4 million Texans have some college credit, but no college degree. Quote, this new tool helps people figure out how close they are to earning a degree at UTPB, so they can plan a pathway to completion. Helping people turn their credit into a credential allows us to change individual lives while supporting the economic development of the region and the state, end quote, Spurlock added. A transfer student is defined as any student new to UT Permian Basin who has ever enrolled at another college or university prior to attendance at UT Permian Basin and who has completed 24 or more semester hours of college-level work. Transfer students can apply any time of the year through UTPB's online application at goapplytexas.org by selecting a preferred entry semester/term. United Way of Odessa to present Dine, Dance, and Laugh Out Loud. Local entertainers will try to make Odessans laugh with United Way of Odessa's Dine, Dance, Laugh Out Loud event. The fundraiser will begin at 6:30 p.m. November 11th at Barn G at the Ector County Coliseum. The event will feature live music and local comedians, as well as a silent auction. It's one of the many fundraisers that the United Way of Odessa has going on during its campaign. Quote, our original plan was to have a regular golf event, but we hadn't done one of those big cash galas like some of our partner agencies have done, end quote. United Way of Odessa Director of Development Andrea Martin said, quote, we're hoping that it'll become an annual staple, something that people will look forward to every year. One thing led to another, and then we scheduled the event, end quote. Jerry Duggan and the West Wind will provide live music. Quote, it'll be a fun event, end quote, Martin said. Quote, we're going to have a big silent auction. One of the things we're excited about is the laugh out loud part. We're trying to find local comedians to do this event for charity. We have Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths. I'm hoping to add a few more locals. We're hoping to make this similar to what the Crisis Center does with its Dancing with the Stars. People will vote on their favorite comedian. It's just going to be a really cool, laid-back, five-minute comedy skit that they'll do. That'll be scheduled around the dance, end quote. Martin talked about the excitement level in being able to do a comedy and concert event. Quote, we don't really have events like this, end quote, Martin said. Quote, I know we've never done something like this before. Jerry Duggan and West Wind have been around for a long time, but we're just looking forward to a fun night of dancing and socializing. It's a great way to support our cause, end quote. However, convincing people to volunteer to do stand-up comedy at the fundraiser has been a little tricky. Quote, when we started thinking about comedians, we have some people on our committee, and we started looking at people who we think will be funny, end quote, Martin said. Quote, we had so many people not be able to make it, so when Griffiths said he would do it, we were surprised. We had some people who weren't too comfortable with doing this, but we have a couple more that we're trying to convince to join, end quote. She's optimistic that they can get a few more locals to join. Founded in 1951, the United Way of Odessa supports local programs that impact the lives of one in every three Odessans. Currently, United Way of Odessa partners with 16 local agencies and 21 programs, providing services in health, education, and self-sufficiency. Quote, we don't raise money to give people handouts, end quote, Martin said. Quote, we raise money to give them hands up so that they can live and eat and live in their homes as long as possible. It's a wide range of services that our partners provide for the community, end quote. For more information about the event, visit tinyurl.com/BDHD782U.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.